this is morning session two, right? Yeah. Made sure I prepared the right message, right? Okay. So this is page 57. You guys found it? Let's read the title. Let's read the title together. Ready? Go. Prayer and Companions. Amen. So I would say this is a crucial lifeline, right, to our being on campus as students. I'm still a student. I'm in graduate school here. I went to undergrad at UT, University of Texas, in Austin. Not Toronto or not Tennessee, because some people from here think it's UT is something else, but anyways. UT Austin is where I went to undergrad. I studied civil engineering, and I was in the brothers' house all 4 years. And what a blessing it is, right, to be with the brothers. Or for sisters, what a blessing to live with the sisters. And so I've had some experience. I wouldn't say I've arrived or I'm an expert, by no means. But I've had some experience, which is why I would say this matter this morning of prayer and companions, I would say, is a crucial lifeline to our college experience, to our being a Christian on campus. How about let's start, turn your page over. Let's start by reading the focus. Ready? Go. For power and impact in our gospel preaching, we must firstly pray and build up a personal daily prayer life, the Lord, while dealing seriously with sin. Then we should preach the gospel, being grouped and thoroughly blended with companions through regular prayer and fellowship for salvation and shepherding of others. So this, the first half of this focus, it talks about our prayer life, right? And if you notice, this is a personal, daily prayer life. So what we're talking about here in the first half is a personal prayer life. It's not, although we'll get to it later, it's not us praying with our companions at first. But it starts with you and the Lord, right? And just to be clear, what we're talking about, we've had, if you look at your schedule, we have many lines of fellowship, right? Morning time with the Lord, the cycle of life, and now we're on the gospel, right? But what we're talking about here, we talked about the morning time with the Lord, right? Our personal prayer time with the Lord. And I would say that's the foundation of our day. What we're talking about here is praying for people. And so that should not be mixed or confused with our morning time with the Lord. So I hope that's clear for everybody. In the morning, first, the foundation of our day is us and the Lord, right? And then there needs to be a time where, you know, maybe the Lord touched us with someone's around us. So this is what we're talking about this morning. There needs to be a time where after that, we bring the people around us to the Lord. And so, let's read Roman numeral 1 all together. For there to be power and impact in preaching the gospel, first we have to pray. So first we have to what? Pray. So let's read point A together. Prayer is the foundation to leading men to Christ. Before one opens his mouth before man, he must open his mouth before God. So, I don't know, if I was you, I would either circle, highlight this word foundation. So prayer is the foundation to leading men to Christ. Right. And so this week we're on the humanity of Jesus, right? And so we have to realize, as what maybe we'll see later in the evening sessions, the humanity of Jesus is a humanity that prays. Maybe you want to write that down or somehow remember it, take a picture or of when you write it down. The humanity of Jesus is a humanity that prays. And as we see in the Gospels, He's intimately concerned for sinners. And so, and He prays. Peter in Luke 20-something, you know, he said to Peter, that Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but I have made petition concerning you.
Amen.
And in Mark, you can see his word to Mary, go tell his disciples and Peter. Do you see that? Even the Lord prays for people. Even we don't know when he prayed for Peter, but obviously he prayed for Peter. So even the Lord, this humanity, is one that prays privately for people. And so this should be our pattern. And I don't know if you saints know of a book called The God-Man Living. It's obviously related. And in that book, you know, a good chunk, several chapters, is on what? A man of prayer. So somehow, I don't know, but somehow this matter of being a God-man has to do with prayer. So hopefully we can be impressed this morning about that. Okay, let's go on to read B altogether. As Christians, we are priests and kings. First, as priests, we should bring people to the Lord in our prayer. Then, as kings, we should bring the Lord to people. And so here we see, as priests, this is our commission, you can say. We bring the picture. Remember, we had a session last night on types and pictures. Well, the picture in the Old Testament is quite marvelous. I don't know if we're familiar with the story, but the priest, he had something called the ephod and the breastplate. And the picture is the 12 tribes, there's 12 stones on his breastplate. And this signifies God's people at that time, the 12 tribes. And what he would do is he would put it on, wear it on his breast, signifying a caring type of attitude. And he would go in to the Holy of Holies. He would go into the tabernacle. He would be directly with God. He would bear God's people into God's presence like that. And so that's what this point is talking about. The type is we are priests and we bring people into God's presence. So okay. So in the reading you'll get to later, it's quite touching. Maybe we'll get to it in the afternoon time. In the reading, there's a part about, you know, our college campuses. We should pray for our campus. You know, and I was touched. You know, some of us, I don't know who, but there are some who are even alone, right, on our college campus. But I asked myself this question once. If I don't pray for my campus, who will? Is that guy, you know, sitting next to us who's getting wasted on the weekends, is he going to pray for your campus? I don't think so. Is your professor, who's your biology professor or whoever, who's indoctrinating you with evolution or something, is he going to pray for your college campus? I don't think so. So who's gonna pray for your campus? Who's going to pray for this campus? It has to be us, right? Amen. And so I know some brothers, even just older brothers. When I was in Austin, I knew a brother. His testimony was he was living in Austin. He would drive to Texas A&M and pray. There was nothing there at that time. Texas A&M is in College Station, and there's some saints here from there. And he would drive, and you know, if you know the history, people from Austin don't like people from College Station. There's a huge, you know, anyways. You guys probably don't know. You guys aren't from Texas, but Michael knows, right? But anyways, this brother, he would drive. He would drive to Texas A&M. There was hardly anything there. He would just drive there and pray. Can you believe that? That was many years ago. And now, maybe because of the result of that, we can see there's many, many saints and many, much going on for the Lord's move there. So that's the power, the foundation of prayer. I also know we were in, for spring break, we were in Ohio. And we're in a small city there. And it's a locality where there's mainly just older saints, just 40-something saints there. They're all older saints, 50s, 40s, 50s. Maybe the average age is 50 there. And there's a college about 20 minutes away called Oberlin College. And, you know, the situation there's just no young people. There's no church life in Oberlin, where Oberlin College is. But there's a church life where the average age is 50. Well, I was talking to this one brother. He often goes to Oberlin where there's nothing, and he just prays. So far, there's still nothing, but he still goes and prays. Amen. So maybe one day, there will be a Christians on campus in Oberlin. Amen. Do you guys get the point? We need to pray. Amen. We need to pray for our campus. First, individually. And because if we don't, probably no one will. And so, let's read this Roman numeral 2, and I won't get too much into it because this is on, you know, confessing and coming to the Lord to be adjusted. And maybe we'll touch on it later in the section concerning the blood. So let's just wrap up this part with, let's all read Roman numeral 2 together, then brothers on A and sisters on B. Okay, go. If we are going to be prevailing in the gospel, we need to go to the Lord every day in prayer to get ourselves adjusted, cleansed, enlightened, exposed, and rebuked by the Lord. Brothers, the greatest obstacle to our
prayer is sin. The moment we take sin lightly and tolerate it, our prayers will be hindered.
Sisters on B.
My name is Michael from College Station, like Josh mentioned. And I'm so thankful for this brother. I don't know who he is, but someone prayed. And the Lord is really doing something in College Station as a result of prayers. I appreciated Josh's sharing that we need to be burdened to pray for our campuses. If we're not praying, who is praying? May we be those the Lord can use to pray for our campuses.
Amen.
And we should do this in an individual way. Go to the Lord. Receive a burden from Him. But also, we need to come together with companions.
Amen.
Maybe we can read Roman numeral 3 together.
By being grouped together with some companions, the gospel preaching on campuses will be like wildfire. Be prevailing, convince people, and put Satan to shame. Amen.
Okay, there's a few phrases here I feel like I'm really burdened for. First, grouped together.
Amen.
Everyone, say grouped together.
Grouped
Group together, brothers. Group together, sisters. Amen. Group together.
Amen.
Okay, this next one is companions. Brothers, companions.
Companions.
Sisters.
Companions.
We need companions. Okay, next. Wildfire. Well, we all say wildfire.
Wildfire.
Amen. Prevailing.
Prevailing.
Convince people.
Convince people.
Put Satan to shame.
Put Satan to shame.
Amen. Okay, this is the impact with the groups. That our gospel preaching has the potential to be like wildfire.
Yeah.
Individually, we may be, actually, every one of us has the fire. Let's read this verse, Luke 12:49. Ready? I have come.
Fast. Fire on the earth, and now I wish that it were already kindled.
Amen. Let's read it one more time.
I have come to cast fire on the earth.
Amen.
And now I wish that it were already kindled.
Amen. So this fire in this verse is the spiritual, the impulse of the spiritual life.
Yes.
And the Lord was just wanting this, His divine life, to be cast on the earth, to burn on the earth like a wildfire. Anyway, this fire is in each one of us. Whether we feel it or not, our spirit is a spirit that has the divine fire.
Amen.
And when we get with others, this fire becomes a flame.
Amen.
Right? We fan our spirit into flame. We meet with the brothers, with the sisters, and we are stirred up in the spirit to burn. And this is how our gospel preaching has the potential, right? As individuals, we may be coals, individual coals, but if you've seen a campfire, that coal by itself will eventually die out. But if those coals gather together, it has the potential to remain, to maintain, and to burn. And this is how we want to be with one another and with our contact with the students on our campus.
Amen.
We can go ahead and read A all together.
We must make the decision to pick up some others as companions, looking to the Lord and praying for this.
Amen. Okay, we need to make the decision. Maybe we can all pray, Lord, I choose to have companions. Lord, give me companions.
Lord, give me companions.
Amen. I think the Lord will really honor our prayer when we pray this way. The Lord, we need companions. Anyway, we need to go to the Lord and seek the Lord of who He would give us as companions. Okay, B, let's read B as well.
As companions being grouped together, we firstly should come together to be blended.
I'd like to give just a brief testimony of these points. This is my first college training. I never went when I was in college, but there was two sisters in our locality in College Station who went to a college training, and they came back burning. I would say I never attended a college training when I was in college, but I was affected by one, because these sisters came back on fire for the Lord. And especially with this burden that we would have some students on campus grouped together.
Amen.
Burden for our campus, who would come together and pray. And so we did that. We practiced to come together once a week and pray. It was just students. We had this burden. We didn't really know what we were doing, but we were praying desperately for our campus.
Amen.
Unfortunately, we skipped B and we went to C. We just started praying for all these people that we were burdened for, which was very good. We had a long list. Actually, we had a big whiteboard, and we would go up there and take turns and write names that we were burdened for, and eventually it filled up the whole whiteboard. And that was great, but eventually we got burned out. It was a lot of labor, but there wasn't the sweetness there. But we had fellowship with some brothers, and they came to us and asked us, "Do you ever pray for one another?" And we said, "No, we don't." And he said, "Do you care about one another?" And we said, "Not really." To be honest, we genuinely didn't have that care. So we began to practice praying for one another, to get to know one another in the Spirit through fellowship and through much prayer. Even I think the verse that kind of summed our time up together was, I think, Galatians 6, 2 or 3. It says, "Bear one another's burdens." And we really practiced that, to bear one another's burdens. And from that, we could really see there was a sweetness, something that attracted the ones on campus that we were with. We were in a Bible study together, and there was just a flow among us, the students that were burdened, and the ones that we met with could really sense it. And that was the impact. Anyway, I really appreciated yesterday Brother Marty's testimony about the brothers that he saw as a testimony of Jesus. Anyway, and the freshmen are here especially, but college students in general, unoccupied, without direction, looking for direction of their life. I tell you, it's something to see someone, a person, who's living to the Lord, but how much more impact when you have a group of students, a group of brothers, and their lives are fully for the Lord, for the gospel, for the church. There is something so convincing. That is where the impact lies. Not so much with us individually, but us in a group together. Okay, maybe brothers, we can read B1. "The first thing is to know one another. We should fellowship concerning the present situation of each group member, including our spiritual status, condition, and present situation, and with the Lord." Amen. Sisters, too.
"We should then pray for one another with a specific view to the practical care and shepherding of one another."
Amen. I really enjoy this verse, Hebrews 10:24. Maybe one of the brothers could find it and read it for us. Got it. Can you stand it and just read it?
"And let us consider one another so as to incite one another to love and good work."
Amen. Let us consider one another. Not only... Anyway, that word consider. How much do we consider one another? The brothers that we're joined with, how much do we consider? Anyway, we should be considering one another in our prayers and also in a practical way. How can we help our brothers and sisters? Okay, let's go on to C. All together, let's read C.
"After taking the steps to become blended through mutual fellowship, prayer, and care, we should go on to contact people for the increase of Christ's body."
Amen. And then let's go ahead and read the 5 points, alternating brothers, number one.
"We should pick up the burden to take action with our companions to contact others."
Amen.
"We should set a definite goal with a strong determination to gain at least one remaining group yearly."
"We should make a list of our acquaintances, pray, and seek the Lord's leading who we should hire."
Amen.
"We should meet with our companions weekly to study, fellowship about, and pray for those we are burdened for."
"We should not expect quick results, but labor with inexhaustible patience and unceasing intercession."
Amen. Anyway, my burden from this point is that we would have companions. Maybe once again we could all say, "Lord, group us together."
Lord, group us together.
Amen. Even I know there's some that raised their hand that said you're the only one at your campus. Well, I would still say, go to the Lord. All of us need to go to the Lord. Lord, who would you group me with?
Amen.
Lord, I need a companion.
Amen.
Lord, you know I need a companion.
Amen.
Lord, give me a companion.
Amen.
And we would just see what the Lord would do.
Amen. Amen.
all of you have something to share with you. Very practical.